As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This is Issues 2021. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. Welcome to Issues 2021, sir.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be with you.
Would you share with us a general observation on the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on City Hall?
Oh, wow. Well, I'm glad we have 2 hours to talk.
Yeah.
Well, it impacted us as it did probably most businesses in the community. Initially, we shut down a significant part of our operations, and what we didn't shut down, we pivoted to remote work. And we stayed with the remote work model for several months, and then went to a hybrid model and continue to work in that way now. We've had, because of the financial concerns we had and revenue dropping off, we were forced to freeze all of our vacant positions, not only those that were in existence at the time that the pandemic started, but also throughout the 2020. So we, at one point, I think we had probably close to 500 positions in the organization that were frozen. So as you can imagine, that really hamstrung our ability to get some things done. But we maintained staffing levels in police and fire, and also in our field services and public works. Those were really important services, and I hope that the public didn't see much of a difference in terms of the way we delivered service during that time. And it was difficult, and we saw significant revenue loss, as I mentioned, and I really had to scramble to try to adjust.
Mm. Okay, now how many people did you actually have who could do their work from home? A good portion of the employees?
Initially, we probably had over 50% of our employees that were working remotely.
Okay.
And we're probably back now to about 90% of our employees on site, or in some hybrid model. And it's working well. I think one of the positive aspects of the pandemic, and it's awkward to say that, but it's that it forced us to change our business model or accelerate changes in our business model that we'd been contemplating anyway. I'd like to think that we are actually serving our customers better by being much more digital in the way we provide services. There are things you can do now with our building department electronically. You don't even have to come in to our building department to file plans or to get a permit. You can do all of that electronically. And during the worst part of the pandemic, we were actually even doing inspections in the field remotely. And we worked with contractors to have them basically walk us around virtually and look at a site. And then when we discovered any kind of serious issues, then we'd have to dispatch somebody to the site. But we could take care of a lot of the basic inspections remotely.
Now, did you have to lay off any employees?
We had some employees, for instance, at Century 2, that we did. We were required to eliminate their positions because we just didn't have any business And anyone who operated a venue during the past year understood that same kind of business problem. We just, nothing was coming in the doors. Conventions weren't, we didn't have any performing arts activities. And as they came back, we were able to staff the building with a skeleton crew.
I'm going to say, has that come back? Have any of those people been brought back, or is that business coming back to the city?
We're bringing some people back on a part-time basis, but we've not restored full-time positions.
Okay. Do you have a number on the city workers who have been treated for COVID-19? Do you have any idea how many?
Oh, Steve, I don't.
Like 500 employees, something like that, city?
No, we've got 3,100 full-time employees.
Sorry. Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
No, that's fine. There was a period of time where either employees that were infected or that were in quarantine exceeded 200. It's kind of the height of the pandemic. So I would receive daily reports, and combined we would have 150 to 200 people out. That was not the average. The average probably hovered around 100, 75 to 100 throughout the pandemic. But at the worst part, it was pretty significant.
Well, how about you? Did you catch it?
No, thanks for asking. I did not.
And I haven't either. We got lucky or we got careful or something, huh? What do you think?
Yeah, employee safety was really important to me. And we did everything we could to try to protect our employees that were coming into work, either into this building or out in the field. And they changed some police services where possible, officers would not enter into buildings. They would try to do as much work outside as they could. But, of course, we know that's not always possible. Our firefighters they wore their breathing apparatus even when they were on medical calls, again, to protect them in that regard. And we bought a lot of personal protective equipment for our employees, installed a lot of guards around our workstations, and when we started to open up City Hall, we limited the locations where the public could come in and transact business. And I actually think it's now more convenient. You can do almost all of your business in City Hall on the first floor instead of trying to wind your way through, 13 stories of our building. So I think that is an improvement. But, my point was we're doing everything we can to keep our people safe. And I feel good that the protocols we followed kept it from getting a lot worse with our employees.
But you got a big building there. Describe the sanitizing you did at City Hall.
Well, early on, we weren't sure how it was transmitted. We thought through touch as well as through the air. So, we put on extra custodial crews to basically clean all of our surfaces that the public would touch on a 3 or 4 time a day basis. And then we have plexiglass that separates all of our public facing employees from the residents that they serve. So we put a lot of money and effort into it during the height of the pandemic.
And have you mandated masks? I presume you have. And is that mandate still an ongoing thing?
Yes. If you come into a city building, masks are required. If you're in a city vehicle, mask is required. And we're going to continue to follow CDC guidelines in that regard. As we see, yesterday we saw some relaxation of the mask requirements for those that are vaccinated. But we don't want to get to a point where we're asking for vaccine passports in order to get into City Hall. So we're going to play it safe and just require folks to continue to mask up when they're in a city building.
Are you optimistic or pessimistic that this pandemic will end with a couple of more months? So you think it'll go on for into the fall or past summer? What do you think?
Well, I'm schizophrenic, Steve, to be honest with you. And, of course, that's my whole personality. But, I wanted to beat you to that punch. But I'm optimistic about where the economy's headed and our ability to come out of this in 2021. And there is an optimism that I feel in the community, both in terms of how our residents perceive what's happening as well as the business community. However, I'm really concerned about the low percentage of our residents that have been vaccinated. And I think the county has done a wonderful job to run the operation out of the old library, to get the word out, to make it as convenient as possible to get the vaccine. But I am disappointed that it's still a low percentage of our residents. And what I'm worried about is that we get hit with a variant that would force us into maybe the fourth wave. And public health is not my area of expertise, but just as someone who has to operate a business and has to worry about the region's economy, I just wish more people would get vaccinated to protect themselves and those that are around them.
And during this pandemic, you don't have to answer for yourself if you don't want to, but you probably know people. I myself and have talked with my friends and loved ones. There was depression with this. People were mentally, I was kind of got worried at times. It looked pretty darn dark out there every day.
Yeah, I think you're right, Steve, and I think all of us had moments, right? I mean, most of the time I was throwing myself into work and I didn't really have much time to think about the repercussions. You know, our business had to continue to go forward. The public services are in demand regardless. And so every day was a new challenge, and it didn't give you that much time to reflect on the changes in our lives and really the lack of a significant human contact during that period of time, right? But
right.
But yes, I'm like you, a lot of friends, a lot of colleagues, both inside this building as well in my profession, I think experienced, you know, some tough times trying to wrestle with this, you know, a year of a change in the way that we live.
All right. One of the things that City Hall and the City Council has done recently is tackle this ethics policy. Now, did we have an ethics policy or not in place?
We actually had two ethics policies in place, one that applies to the mayor and city council and boards and commissions. And that is a policy that is geared appropriately towards them. And then we've had another code of ethics for city employees. And we've been working on, and this part hasn't really been discussed publicly, but we've been working on enhancing the code of ethics for employees for a little time and put that on hold until after the council was done with its work so that we could make sure that there was consistency between the two policies. But there was a code of ethics. The one that the council is considering now would have more guidelines, stronger policy direction regarding activities that are, I would say, make us above reproach.
Okay, so with regard to the policy for the other employees, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I naturally know what I can do and what I shouldn't do and what's right and what's wrong. But, yeah, I don't need them. Do you have your people read the policy manual at least?
Yes. When you start with us, you need to read the policy and sign off that you have read it and understood it. And then we have training on ethics as well for our employees.
You know, I was trying to be funny there, but
yeah, I know, but I understand what you're saying, and I it's a serious issue. Only that the public wants to they expect the best from us, and so we want them to understand that there's honesty and integrity in what we do as a staff, and that they can rely on us making impartial decisions and impartial recommendations to the council, and that they know that we're squeaky clean. And so the problem with ethics is there's so much gray area. And what we try to do in the staff policy is to provide guidance through those gray areas.
Right, right. So in your reasoned opinion, how many pencils can I take home a week? What do you think?
Yeah, zero. We like to say that's the taxpayer's pencil, Steve.
Yeah, there you go.
And of course, only you still use pencil, but that would go to pens and, more importantly, your laptop. So.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Issues 2021 on the Odyssey radio stations. Our guest is Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. been a lot of national media coverage on cases of police brutality. A lot of talk about police reform. Where is our Wichita Police Department on this issue?
I would say that we are ahead of many of the large police departments in the country. Recognize that we still have more work to do, but I think we've made some great progress that was started well before last summer. But last summer gave us an opportunity to think about additional things that needed to be done. And Chief Ramsey has been pretty committed to getting out in the community, listening, and continuing to reform our practices to make sure that we're our policies are very strong in terms of use of force. Some of the things you see happening in other communities, I'd like to hope wouldn't happen here. Our police officers are well-trained in de-escalation. We are doing things to give the police department better resources. We are partnering with ComCare to help with mental health issues that are sometimes underlying causes of interaction with the police department. And I mean, I could go on and on, but I'd like to think that we are a strong 21st century police department and one that the community should be proud of, because we, you know, the chief had the foresight along with his staff to start addressing these issues a few years ago.
What's interesting is that Ramsey came from Minnesota, which has kind of been the center for all this controversy with the...
if you talk to him, he has followed it closely, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet so. Is the city having any trouble finding people who want to work in the police department?
Believe it or not, not in the police department. I mean, that was probably more prevalent a few years ago. But I give the police staff credit for that. They have become much more aggressive in their recruitment process, and to the point where it's not just that we're getting more bodies in the door, but we're getting more candidates that are reflective of this community. And so we had a significant number of women in the last class, and it may have been, I don't want to misquote, but I think we had 50% of the class that were women. So it was, again, we're recognizing that we can only be effective if the officers in the field are reflective of the people that they're working with.
Has the pandemic had an impact on revenue coming into the city? I think you've told me it has.
It has. Yeah. And it's pretty significant. It's over $30 million that we lost during just 2020 and into 21. The good news is that the most recent recovery bill that was approved by Congress should allow us to offset some of those losses, probably a majority of those losses, and we'll be able to start filling positions and starting to restore some services that we were unable to provide previously.
Let's talk about development of the area near the new stadium. How's the parking situation being handled?
Well, for some, they'd say things are great. I parked across the river. I didn't have to walk very far. For others, if you aren't right next to the stadium, obviously that's a disappointment. So we're trying to help as much as we can to provide close-in spaces. And from a short-term standpoint, we are in the process of putting down a surface on some lots that we bought specifically to help with parking on the west side of Sycamore, just across the street from the stadium. And those will be open for game day. And then next year we'll start construction, and it'll be the year after that that it'll actually be completed. But we have a parking garage that we will be built just catty corner across Sycamore from the stadium. And that both of those should help, and they'll add over 500 spaces close to the stadium.
One of my high school classmates and a dear friend grew up in a house at Texas and Sycamore. A big brown house. And I got to tell you, it's not there anymore, and I got to tell you, I think it's an improvement.
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of people will be happy that house isn't there anymore because they'll be able to park.
There'll be a place to park there. There you go.
Exactly.
How about over in the east bank of the Arkansas River, what's happening regarding a new convention center and performing arts?
Well, I frankly thought it would have been tone deaf to start discussions about redevelopment on the East Bank while all of us were struggling through the pandemic and trying to wrestle with the economic problems that created. I would imagine that this year there'll be some discussions, but my focus right now is on the management of Century 2 as it exists. We are in the process of soliciting proposals for possible private management of the facility. If we're successful in that, what I'd like to do then is take the knowledge of that private operator to help us project what the future will look like for conventions, and then revisit this issue of what C2 can be, what are the voids or gaps, what do we think conventions are going to look like for the next 10 years, and then let's right-size whatever facility that we're going to have. We took a year off and focused on other things.
It's a good point. You were kind of in a survival mode for a while and didn't want to focus. You couldn't really divide your attention from that. So I understand that.
Right. Nor was it fair to talk about anything that had financial impact for a community that was struggling and then where some people were worried about their weekly paycheck.
Yeah. We talked about Century 2, and I think you cleared me up on that. The other thing I want to talk about is the library building. You know, I went down, and I got my shots, and Shelley and I both, and I was struck by that building. For some reason, I just think that is a terrific building. All the glass, indoors, outdoors, kind of like Frank Lloyd Wright type of thing, and people are talking about, is there something we can do with that to keep it? And not having to bulldozed or something.
Right. Well, I had talked about that building and put possible reuses for that building prior to the pandemic. It's interesting. Once we left the building and it's open, and now so many people have seen this, right? The views of downtown and the amount of natural light coming to the building really makes it much more attractive inside than I think outside. I'm not a fan of brutalist architecture, but this building, I do think is a valuable piece of our history, but also just a valuable building. I've had multiple companies come to me and ask if we'd be willing to sell it for them or to them for their use. I think we're going to hold on to it for a while for public purposes. We've kicked around possible. There's just so many options and what we could do, but one of the options was expanding Bob Brown or improving the Bob Brown Convention Center and then having meeting space to support that convention center in the library. So convert that into ballroom and meeting room space. Mm-hmm. That's just one of many ideas that we've had. But the community has spoken. They want us to be deliberate and thoughtful in what we do as we plan for the next chapter of that building's history.
Over a year ago, I went and bought myself a Wind Surge baseball cap, my favorite baseball cap, and here it is. It's about to wear out, and I've never seen a game over there at that stadium. I'm really anxious to go to Riverfront. I bet a lot of people are.
Oh, I tell you, Steve, that's a great reason for optimism. I love the stadium. It's beautiful. I was with it from the very beginning, and I've been in it several times since it's been completed. And it was so wonderful to see the way the community responded to it when they had a glimpse during the WSU Houston game. And I think after opening day and that first week, we're going to just continue to receive rave reviews. It's a wonderful place to watch baseball. The Twins are a fantastic organization. We've really enjoyed our discussions with them, and I think they're going to put on a great product on the field. So you're going to have great baseball in a fantastic facility, and I think people are going to really enjoy this summer. And even those who may not be big baseball fans, I think, are going to find their way over into the stadium.
Every time I talk to you, it seems like you're outgoing, you're positive, and you just have a great, elegant life. Now, is that a big facade, or are you really like that?
I think I'm really like that.
You know what I always say? Yeah. If you can fake sincerity, then you've got it made, right?
I get that. I don't know. Steve, we've talked about this in a number of our interviews, but, you know, I love this community, and the people here are so warm. It's easy, I think, to be outgoing when you're received so well. And even folks who are critical of what we do, I find that they're respectful when they talk to me. I don't have a lot of people that, you know, are red-faced, poking me in the chest. Instead, they have, in most cases, very legitimate concerns, but they express them in a way that lets me know that they want us to do better, right? I mean, and that they're on our side, and they have high expectations. And I love when I'm this is will be the best part of when we all can get back to normal. I love going to neighborhood meetings and talking to the folks about the issues that are important to them, because I can't be better if I don't know what, you know, their expectations are. But this is a great community.
We're out of time. We'll have to sort of do it next time, okay?
Our guest. Okay, you got it.
Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. That's all for this edition of Issues 2021. We'll be back next week. And thank you for listening, and thank you for being with us, Bob. I'm Steve McIntosh.